while and bought new dishes and new pieces and everything else. When they got here and I'd washed them and was ready to put them in my cabinet, I realized that they were a little too massive for my cabinet. They were much, much bigger than my old dishes, and anyone who uses Fosgraph knows about this. So this, led me to the conclusion that I needed a new china cabinet, and it snowballed from there. Kind of like when you get new furniture, you realize the room could use new paint, then you think about new park carpeting, etc., etc., etc. So why do I mention this? Well, I had a similar experience recently with respect to technology, and again, the snowball effect happened. A few weeks ago, I was flipping through the TV channels, and The Expendables 3 was on. I'd never seen 1 or 2, and even though I watched a little bit of Expendables 3, I'm the type of person who doesn't like watching movies that are a part of a series unless I've seen the ones before. So I searched among my different streaming services for Expendables 1 and Expendables 2. I only use Amazon Prime and Netflix, and of course Spectrum for, cable and internet. The movies were available on all of those to rent. And is it just me, or do you also find it somewhat annoying that you have to pay to rent a movie that's already been on TV or been out for a while, but you already pay a subscription fee for that particular service? Sorry, I wasn't going to do that. So anyway, a couple of weeks later, I was under the weather, so I was stuck at home in bed, and I remembered that Roku, because I have Rokus and I, whatever. Anyway, I remembered that Roku has a nifty little feature where you can search across all of the various channels and services that they have for a movie or a show, and then Roku will list all of those and you can compare, the availability charges, etc. And lo and behold, all three Expendables were available on the TNT app. Granted, so I added the TNT channel, and granted, there were commercials, and I'm sure there was some editing, but I did sit there and, watch all three while I was sick in bed. So a few days after that, well, just actually a few days ago, because I enjoyed the movies, I decided to, look into actually purchasing them, especially given that I hadn't bought any 4K movies yet for the new 4K TV. So as I was looking at the different formats for, that The Expendables coming, because of course they all, any movie today, you can get it DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, etc., etc. And as I was looking at this, I saw a mention of Dolby Atmos. Okay. I admit I haven't paid a whole lot of attention to advances in home theater, all of the advances in home theater for a while. And even though I'm sure I have read something about Atmos at some point, it didn't really register with me what this was all about. So naturally, I did a little research and, found out what this Atmos was. And then the next thing, I was looking at new components for my living room. We already had the 4K Ultra TV. I talked about that. When I purchased it, I hadn't replaced my Blu-ray player yet, with a player that could do 4K Ultra, and the surround sound receiver that I had, while fairly new, it was a couple years old, and it didn't have the newest technology, such as support for Ultra 4K and some of the newer audio technologies like this Atmos. Hubby gives me an exasperated sigh, shakes his head, says, "You're crazy," albeit with love and affection. And as I told him, "But I need something to talk about on my show this month." So, long story short, I decided to go out and purchase some new equipment. So what is Dolby Atmos? Let's talk about that for a little bit first before we get into everything else. If you've been to a movie theater in the past few years, it's very likely that you've experienced Dolby Atmos because the newer theaters have all implemented this. Dolby Atmos has been around for a while in theaters, but now it's starting to, drift down to the home theater market. So, what is Dolby Atmos? It's essentially 3D sound, which adds one more level to surround sound, but it's also different and unique in that Dolby Atmos uses what's called object-based sound, in that all of those different sounds are encapsulated as an individual object. And what this does is it enables those sounds, those individual sounds, to be directed to any specific speaker, not just a specific channel. Prior to this, your surround sound had to go to a specific channel, i.e., your fronts, your rears, the woofer, etc. But now these little bitty sound objects can start at one specific speaker and then can be moved to other speakers. They're independent from all of the other sounds, and so they can be mixed and moved in unlimited ways, just depending on the sound engineer. So you could literally, in a good Atmos setup, you could literally hear a raindrop hitting against a leaf. It can get that intricate. So that's essentially what Dolby Atmos is about. And there's a couple of other sound technologies that are also using this object-based sound. Another one from Dolby, called DTX:X. And then there's another company totally out of Europe that's also doing the same thing. So this is the new sound trend in home theater movies, all of that. So that's what Dolby Atmos is. Now let's talk a little bit about implementing it in a home theater system. And this is where there becomes a real challenge, to be honest. I mentioned that, I did proceed then to go and get, various different components. I haven't played with it enough because this was just, last weekend and, teaching and everything else. I didn't necessarily have all the complete time to do all that. And, we'll get into a little bit more on that whole installation process in a little bit. But anyway, so I haven't been able to play with it enough to notice any appreciable difference than what we had before. And I will honestly tell you, I may never get there in my living room, given that my living room is not the ideal situation for a good home theater setup. It's a bit of an open concept, and the ideal Atmos and/or home theater room should have four walls, and so that the sound itself is more contained. Because if you implement a home theater in more of an open concept, some of the sound gets lost in that, fourth wall that isn't there, because it's open. You can compensate to a certain degree, but not completely 100%. The other aspect of, and this is from Dolby's site, the Dolby site, and they have some really good guidelines on what they consider an ideal Atmos home theater setup. But their recommendation is also that the ceiling should be no higher than 14 feet, and the ceiling should be a sound reflecting material, not a sound absorbing. Some of the popcorn ceilings, because of the nature of the material, they absorb the sound rather than reflecting it back. So those are just a few of the things that I discovered. Ceiling is fine. We only have a standard 8-foot ceiling, and it's regular, not concrete, but regular plaster, no sound absorbing. And then the other part of this is that you need Atmos supporting speakers, as well as, of course, an Atmos supporting receiver. Your player, your disc player, if you want to do that, does not necessarily need to be an Atmos supporting because it can just pass the sound on to the receiver. So you don't have to replace all of your existing speakers. I did kind of look at speakers a little bit, and holy smokes, they can get really pricey depending on how much you want to spend. But there are what are called Atmos upfiring add-ons that can be used. And with an Atmos upfiring add-on, if you look at it, it's a speaker that the speaker part itself is somewhat slanted. And the idea is that it directs the sound upwards. So it's angled to shoot the sound upwards to your ceiling, and then it bounces off and drops down to your ears. So these upfiring add-ons, they're placed on top of your current front speakers. They can be mounted on the wall, placed on top of your rear speakers, just kind of depending on what your receiver capability is and, you know, the room configuration to get the best sound. You can also use ceiling speakers. These are literally mounted into the ceiling, and then the, you know, of course, the sound then shoots straight down. There's you know, people that will argue both and back and forth whether ceiling speakers are better or some kind of an upfiring speaker is better. All depends on, you know, ears implementation, room configuration, and all that. And if your budget is no object and you are willing to replace your current speakers, many of the higher-end speaker manufacturers like Klipsch have floor speakers that have that Atmos capability already built in. So this would replace your fronts completely. If space is an issue, there are also the manufacturers to take advantage of this whole new Atmos thing. They've been coming out with Atmos soundbars, which actually the Atmos soundbars take the place of all of these separate speakers. So instead of having, you know, five or seven, you know, whatever your implementation is, the Atmos soundbar, the soundbar itself has all of these different speakers built into it. So you've got your fronts and all of that, and, you know, the options are limitless depending on obviously your budget and then your room configuration and how much of a perfectionist with respect to audio you are. You know, some people have really, really, really great ears and they want to duplicate that, you know, that theater experience. And so they're willing to go that mile to whatever it takes. Do keep in mind that Atmos is about the sound, and then 4K is about the video. So if you want great sound, great video, you know, newest, latest, greatest, that's the route that you go. And also keep in mind that with that, the other one that I mentioned, the DTS-X, most of the receivers, if it supports Atmos, it's going to support the DTS-X. So, okay. And again, it's not just about getting new speakers. You need to have that receiver that supports the Atmos. And then once you have the equipment, then there's a whole lot of other variables that come into play for setting up the best experience in your room configuration. Some of it's a matter of, you know, trial and error, placements, different things can detract from the sound bouncing off the ceiling in the proper way. For example, I have a ceiling fan in the middle of my living room, so the speakers need to be aimed in the right way so that the sound is not going to the ceiling fans, but is actually hitting the ceiling. And then, of course, there's also the question of where you sit. This goes for, you know, plain old surround sound as well as, you know, adding this new layer to that whole thing. You know, where's the ideal sitting position to get all of these, you know, and then the aforementioned room configuration. But there's a ton of information out there available online for the do-it-yourselfer. There's some audio forums. This is where, you know, I got a lot of the information when I was looking at, you know, the different options that were out there and trying to decide which one to buy, you know, all of this, which direction to go. And I didn't want to spend, you know, a whole chunk of money. And so some of those forums are great because the people that are on there are, you know, willing to, you know, if you have some questions about something, you want some advice, they'll jump in and help you out. If you're not sure whether or not this, you know, venturing into this whole Atmos or even home theater thing is worth the time, the challenge, the money, because you're like, oh, I'm not sure if it's really going to make much of a difference. If you want to experience a home theater room, the Best Buy stores at Mayfair and Brookfield, they both have actual home theater rooms that you can go in and sit there and, you know, watch a movie and listen to all of those differences. If you're not a do-it-yourselfer, but you really, really love movie experiences, you know, it's, you know, family thing, you know, everybody get together and all of that, and you have, you know, the ability to dedicate a room for a home theater, or you want to turn your living room into a home theater, but you don't want to do it yourself, obviously. There are home theater consultants and installation companies out there that will, you know, do this all for you. Best Buy, Flanners, Tech-Teriors, all kinds of them. If you just kind of Google home theater installers, you'll find a ton of different services, and they'll be more than happy to come out and take a look at your situation and help you design the best home theater that your house can do and your checkbook, so to speak, can handle. And they'll also be able to point out the limitations and the challenges that you're going to have, you know, like, for example, the, you know, my situation where it's sort of an open concept. And so I'm in my living room. I'm not going to get the best setup for this. But anyway, so that, you know, that's kind of how to get started. Now, I don't, you know, we're not going to be able to address every single issue that came about. And again, as I'm still experimenting and playing with this, I can't tell you, you know, specifically, how, you know, if I had good results, but obviously next month, as I have time, I'll play with this. But a couple of things that you do want to keep in mind, you know, for home theater and or Atmos. And these are just, again, recommendations from Dolby. Experience is the best, you know, solution, you know, playing with, you know, placements of things. But just to give you a couple of guidelines, your front speakers should be about 36 inches high. Dolby, you know, this is a generic kind of a measurement, but Dolby basically says this is about listening height. Okay, so you kind of want your fronts to be listening height. Your rears should be no more than 1.25 times the height of your front. Ideally, you also probably want the fronts to be, or your rears to be, at the same height of your fronts, but a lot of times you'll see rears higher than fronts because they kind of direct, you know, they direct a little bit downwards, but no higher than one and a fourth higher than your fronts. Then your Atmos speakers, again, if you're going to do like add-ons to be placed, you know, on top of your fronts, or you can even wall mount them. And again, because the Atmos is, they're slanted to direct sound up to the ceiling, and then the ceiling then bounces it back down. They should be at least 3 feet below the ceiling. And the reason for this distance is to give that sound time to travel up to the ceiling and then bounce back down to get the right effect. Okay. So at least 3 feet below the ceiling, but then you don't want to go too low because then the sound will be basically weakened by the time it hits the ceiling. And this is, you know, and there's, if you're into trig, there are some mathematical trig formulas to tell you, okay, if you're going to place them this far from the ceiling and your ceiling is this high, you know, and you're here and there and all of that, you can really get into, you know, get real anal about all of this placement using all of this stuff. And so, you know, again, the Dolby website itself has some, you know, great advice, and other sites do. So that just gives you a few guidelines on speaker placement. And then the other side of this whole thing is what your receiver can do for you with respect to adjusting your speakers, in that anybody that's bought a surround sound receiver in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years knows that many of them will come with this little disc microphone thing. And when you're setting up your receiver, you put that microphone in and then it shoots sound out of the speakers and each individual speaker to determine that speaker's distance. And you're supposed to put the microphone essentially where the listener might be sitting. And, you know, the right height of the listener's ears, and then the favorite location of the listener. And then that microphone hears the sound, and then the software that's built into the receiver then determines the distance from the speaker, or the distance between the speaker, each individual speaker, and where the microphone is, and then sets all of the speaker settings accordingly to give the, according to the software, the most optimal settings to give the best experience. And when you include Atmos speakers and you go through your receiver setup, you tell your receiver what your speaker setup is, depending on how many speakers you have. And sometimes with these Atmos speakers, receivers also call them height speakers, which there's a distinct difference between front speakers and height speakers, in that, as I mentioned, Dolby says front speakers should be placed to where they're even with the ears, and then height speakers would be higher up, again, to, you know, give higher sound, trying to create, before Atmos came about, trying to create these different channels to immerse you in sound. And, you know, and that's why I made the distinction that Atmos adds a totally different technology, in that these sounds, individual sounds, can now be encapsulated or captured as an individual object rather than a stream of sound that's sent to a specific speaker, you know. So now it adds a whole new dimension, and that's why you need an Atmos capable receiver, so that when it knows you're using Atmos, it tests accordingly to include the placement of your Atmos speakers. ATMOS, by the way. And if you just search for Dolby Atmos, one of the first hits that you're going to see is the actual Dolby, D-O-L-B-Y website. And, you know, they'll, you know, talk about what is Dolby Atmos, what the, you know, how to best configure it for your home. And then even, and they'll even have links to, I don't want to say authorized, but recognized manufacturers of Dolby equipment for receivers, speakers, you know, the whole nine yards. And then, of course, you know, the other side of that is, you know, once you get a all of the equipment and it's set up and everything, then you need to have content that has Dolby Atmos so that you can make a difference, so that you can take advantage of all of your efforts. And not all 4K movies have Dolby Atmos. So, you know, then it's a matter of, you know, looking at the case if you're buying it at, you know, like a Best Buy or something, or if you're buying it at you know, from Amazon or wherever you might buy movies, making sure that Dolby Atmos is there. And if you're not buying, if you're using a streaming service, then depending on the streaming service you have, they may be able to stream 4K and along with that Atmos, because ultimately it's all just bits and bytes no matter how it's being delivered. So if it can be, you know, sent over the internet, then the Atmos is going to come with it. If you don't have any Atmos content right now, there are some Atmos testing files out there that have really implemented, you know, Atmos, and these are great to test your system. I haven't downloaded any of them to a USB yet to use to test with those. I just, you know, popped my Expendables 3 movie, which, believe it or not, is one of the recommended movies out there to test your Atmos system. And so I popped it in there and just played, you know, 10 minutes of it trying to see, and then, you know, moved a little bit around, but not, you know, not to any extent that I could tell any difference. But again, I was time limited. So next month, you know, because there's considerably more to talk about. Next month, we'll talk a little bit more specifics about speakers and wires and receivers, and talk about, you know, okay, do I really want to get this new receiver and go through the hassle of, you know, putting my wires in? And, you know, after that, you know, after my experience, it's like, okay, I learned a lot and I made a few decisions. So we'll talk more about that, and I will give you an update on whether or not, you know, whether or not I've been able to really, really experience, you know, what this Atmos should be all about. But we're out of time for now. So next month we'll talk more about, you know, setting up your home theater. Everybody have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
This is WGTD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to a discussion of local educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Dwayne Olson, a retired member of the teacher education faculty at UW Parkside, Karen Sconsert, an associate professor of education at Carthage College, Mike Kehoe, a retired substitute teacher and a current special education support volunteer at Bullen Middle School in Kenosha, Chuck Wolbers, a special education teacher with Kenosha Unified Successful Transitions for Exceptional Students Program, and Steve Brown, assistant professor of educational leadership at UW-Oshkosh. Now, here's today's Education Matters moderator.
And a very pleasant good morning, everyone, and welcome to Education Matters here on WGTD-HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. I'm your host today, Steve Brown. Our show today will be a repeat from last year, where my guests were Louise Dubay from iCivics, and also Dr. Lynn Michael Brown. We'll be talking about the empowering of girls in high school. Before we begin, I wanted to mention that on a future program, we'll be looking at what's happening in the state with regards to state funding, as well as the impact on Foxconn with respect to education here in the area. Also, a discussion in the future about some plans that some legislators in Madison have with regards to having gun safety courses in our public schools. This past week, Democrats pushed back against a Republican measure that would allow Wisconsin high school